This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome into another edition of Talking Guns. Glad to have you with us in this portion of More Outdoors. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Keith Lusher and a special guest will be doing the North Shore Fishing Report, assessing some of the damage and the changes in fishing. Boy, what a problem that's been over there on the North Shore, Lake Pontchartrain, which normally is a real popular speckled trout area, has just been pretty much devoid of them. Algal blooms in the lake, warnings from Department of Health. There's a lot to talk about there, and they'll try to find some alternatives for you and maybe some good news following Tropical Storm Barry. But on this program, we talk guns. We talk firearms. We talk to you. If you want to text us a question or a comment, our text message board is open at 870-870, and the phone line is open at 504-260-6368. Devin Burgess is co-host. And Devin, how's things been going over at the Jefferson Gun Outlet and the Shooters Club?
Wonderful. Everything's good. I had a bunch of talking points for you. I wanted to, and I'm very disappointed, before the show started, you said you had to cancel your governor's open table. What do they call that? Is that an open table?
A forum. It wasn't a debate. What we did was it was a group of us from the Louisiana Outdoor Writers Association, and we developed a series of questions of the highest importance to sportsmen and sportswomen in the state. And what we did was we bring them each in there on camera. We present the questions to them. They know what the questions are ahead of time and just give their stance and their platform on what they think needs to be done to address those issues. And that way the viewers can get their information on which candidate they'd like to choose based on their answers. And I'd asked you to come up with some with firearms, whether it be Second Amendment or problems with firearms that the governor may have some impact on. So what would you say would that be from talking to customers and being in the business? If there was a number one and number two issues in the state of Louisiana with firearms that a governor could straighten out, what would it be?
Right. So New Orleans as a whole, which leads into my next point, is very anti-gun traditionally, and it's been that way since before the SHOT Show was here the first time, and that was, I mean, you know that more than I do. What was that, in the 90s?
That was in the 90s, right. The mayor at that time was Mark Morial.
So I always find it fascinating, and I'm, you know, I'm getting older, and politics was never my bag, but in the last year to 2 years, I've been really engrossed in the political limelight, especially since the last election that we had was one for the books. I mean, it was insane, and I found it that it was very interesting that out of the whole country, 350 million people in the United States, these are the two candidates that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party presented as the best two candidates, and since that happened, I realized that there must be a huge flaw in the way that we look at politics and the money that's behind it. People took Gary Johnson seriously for the first time, probably ever, that there was a third party. But I mean, there is so much money in politics, and because of social media, you can find much easier than before how much money these people make. I mean, Hillary Clinton was making almost $1 million to speak to banks for an hour. And what are you telling me? You're telling me that it's worth $1 million? These guys are banks. They know money. They know how much money's worth. They're going to give her $1 million to talk for an hour.
Yeah.
While she's running for president. I mean, it's I don't think that should be legal, but
well, you got another factor you got to throw in there too. A dishonest media.
Right.
You know, in the days where medias and journalists were objective and they gave you just the facts, ma'am, and they presented it the way it was and you could take it to the bank, then you were confident. But today,
Right.
No. The media follows. You got Republican media, very few, and you got a lot of liberal Democratic media, and you got to really read between the lines to get the correct, accurate information. It's difficult. It's tough.
So that, anyway, that little spinoff was to allude to why I was so excited to see your discussion. I really wasn't super familiar with what it was, but but I find that so interesting. And because you are very, you get your point across very clearly. You're obviously in the gun community. I thought it would be very interesting to see all of the choices that Louisiana has put forth. And I was really looking forward to seeing that and talk to you about it. So I'm sorry that it got canceled. I was really looking forward to it.
Well, we can still discuss it. So what would you say if you had a chance and you had all four governor's candidates sitting right here, what would be the question or the request that you would put before them to benefit firearms owners, people in the industry, or really just in general?
Right. So that brings me to my second. It's funny that we're talking about this because 2 days ago I got an email. There's a gun group, like a forum, that sends us emails, keeping us in the up to date on what's going on. But it's official that Louisiana is the most violent state in America. That's what this article that I'm reading is saying anyway. And it says not only is it the most violent state in America, but U.S. Today uses, it's the paper, I guess, is U.S. Today where they pulled this from, uses four metrics to calculate their rankings. The violent crime rate, which is 557 per 100,000 residents. So out of 100,000 residents living in Orleans Parish or New Orleans, 557 a year are going to be somehow linked to violent crime with a firearm, which is the fourth highest in the country in as far as per capita in cities. The murder rate is the highest, so congratulations, New Orleans. Mm-hmm. It's 13 out of 100,000.
Now, wait, are you on New Orleans or Louisiana? Or does New Orleans New Orleans so goes the state?
Right, it's Louisiana, but it's very clear in the article that it's Louisiana because of New Orleans. And then when you get out to the metro area, out of New Orleans, the crime rate, the murder rate, the incarceration rate, unemployment, all of that drastically changes. So it's Louisiana, but it's Louisiana because of Orleans Parish. So that's what I would focus on. It's directly, I mean, it does. It directly affects guns, but how to stop that would be a very interesting road to go down because I have no idea how to stop. I mean, I don't have the answer. Same thing with gun violence, but I like hearing political candidates. You know, I also think that I can kind of wade through the BS, and I really think it's interesting how it's usually somehow tied up into funds or more money they need for something. Most of these people are in jail. I think we have the highest. Yeah, it's the highest. It's 719 per 100,000 residents are incarcerated currently. So, and again, that's the highest in the country for the incarceration rate. So murder rate, we're the highest. Incarceration rate, we're the highest. Unemployment, we're the third highest, which is debated on here that leads to incarceration. So that's one of the reasons. And the violent crime rate with firearms, we're the fourth highest. So
if I were to pose that dilemma into a question for a governor's candidate, what I would say to him is, some people, when they see those stats that you just read, will say, you see, there's too many guns in New Orleans. We are the most violent, highest incarceration, the highest death rate. Then the other side would say, because of that, that's even more reason for me to be able to carry on my person. And I would ask that governor's candidate to say, which side of that are you on? Should we continue or even loosen the restrictions and regulations on personal protection with a firearm, or should we tighten it to eliminate how many firearms are out there and see what their answers would be?
Right. I mean, there's a couple of, well, that's both of them. That's the big two, either side of that. But both of them put you into this corner that you can't talk your way out of. I mean, it's either you're either wrong in their eyes or you're wrong in somebody's eyes. You might think you're right, but both of them aren't. It's not going to make the. I don't believe that it's going to drastically affect these numbers short term. Long term, personally, I believe the more good guys with guns has a positive effect on negative to the criminals, positive effect in society against the criminals that are going to shoot and kill everybody and rob you and take your stuff. So yeah, right. That would be the big question that I would ask. And I don't think there is an answer. And even if you think, and I try to, now that I'm listening to political discussions more, we've done your show for a while, and I try to see it from everybody's point of view. I do my best to see it from everybody's point of view. I really do. But even if you think that the best solution is to take all the guns in America and get rid of them, I mean, I think that's a terrible idea, but let's just devil's advocate. If you think that guns are terrible and you want to take all the guns off the streets, you can't physically. You just couldn't. There's more guns than people. I love that. We probably sold most of them. We probably sold most of them at the store to most people when they live around the area. But it just can't be done. It can't be done for 100 years. If you started now, stop and frisk, and every gun you came across, you took. You told all the good guys to turn in their guns, and you started going door to door for bad guys' guns. I mean, just again, devil's advocate. If you said that's what we were going to do, you would still never get all the guns. You would never. It would never happen. And the only people that it would affect short term in a very negative way are the good guys.
Sure,
that give you their guns.
Right.
For that next 25 years, those criminals are going to have a field day. They're going to love whoever makes a law that, you know, states that. And I don't think we're close to that. I mean, every time something terrible happens, you know, they go down that road of gun banning and confiscation and all this nonsense. I don't think it'll happen soon, but I am very worried about what this is going to look like in, you know, in 20 years and 40 years and 50 years and 200 years. Because it's going to be different. Something will happen. I'm just very curious as to what that is.
Have you gotten to watch the debate, the Democratic candidate debate, the first one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found it strange there was hardly any mention about firearms in that. It was more on the Green Deal and free college and free Medicare and free the. I thought for a minute they were going to say free guns for everybody. They were giving everything else away.
Wouldn't that be nice, huh?
Yeah, well, dream on.
But It's a very strange thing that happens with especially these debates when they get in front of, you know, large groups of people. You know, they talk a certain way, and at the end of it, they get a big applause, and they state their message, and they bang, and everybody claps, and it's very odd. You know, it's not how people talk, but it's how they talk. It's very, I just think it's very strange. The whole thing is very strange.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm sure that in some of the governor's debates, that the firearms issue may or may not come up. That organization that quoted you those stats, did they take a position at the end of it, or was it just really to provide information?
Well, I mean, it was the position was unfortunate. Sorry, Governor Edwards. It was saying that the people in power currently aren't doing their jobs, and that there isn't a light at the end of the tunnel that they see. You know, that it's been this way for a long time. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. And it's comical, almost, that Orleans Parish, who is very strict, I mean, very similar to Chicago, almost, in the way that they view guns in a negative light.
Legal guns.
All guns.
Yeah. Well, if they would institute stop and frisk, that would put a big reduction in it. And I don't know what the typical gun owner, legal firearms owner feels about it, but I feel this way. If they stop me and ask to see my permit, if I'm carrying a firearm, I'll be glad to show it.
Right.
If you're going to stop the guy on the corner that doesn't and he goes away for 20 years because he's a convicted felon in possession of an illegal firearm, that would stop a lot of it. They wouldn't carry him if they knew that. They might have a knife or a stick or a pot, who knows what kind of weapon, but they wouldn't be carrying the firearms on their person if they knew that there was a possibility for no other reason other than just to ask you. They have the right to check and see if you have a firearm.
Well, they did that in the past, and it worked very well.
They declared it unconstitutional. Right, they didn't like the idea of it, but it could be done locally in a municipality if they wanted to. Look, we got to take a break, but when we come back, there's something else that has came to my attention. I'm sure you're familiar with it because I'm sure your customers have told you about this. Gun confiscations in Orleans Parish, taking people's firearms that have permits and legally own them, and they don't get them back, and why they're taking them in the first place. We'll be back to talk about that. If you'd like to join us, 504-260-6368, or text messages at 870-870. Don Dubuque and Devin Burgeons, we're talking guns. All right, welcome back into Talking Guns. Devin, before we broke, I talked about a situation that I've heard from people that goes on in New Orleans, where for maybe traffic stops or whatever minor things, people are stopped. They inform the officer they have a firearm, and they tell them they want to see their receipt for the firearm. And if you don't have the receipt, they take your gun. Is that happening?
They do. Yes.
Who carries a receipt for their gun?
I don't know, but it happens, and it happens probably, let me not lie here to our valued listeners. Let's see. It probably happens.
Well, you don't know how often it happens. How many times do you hear about
it? Right. So that's absolutely correct. I have no idea how much it happens. It probably happens much more than I even think, but we print a bound gun book receipt, which is just a disposition record.
Mm-hmm.
They charge us for the service, which is unfortunate because we have to charge a small fee to do it, and it takes a little while. It takes 15 minutes or so to pull all the records out of our computer of any gun that you've purchased from us, and we probably do that five times a week.
So probably five a week?
Almost every day, yeah. We had two yesterday.
That is incredible. You know, I have two firearms, handguns, that I bought so long ago, I didn't keep receipts on them. And guess what? This law doesn't go back that far. Suppose you bought a gun before the law went into effect. You're not going to have a receipt.
I don't think there's a law.
Well, they're quoting something to take the firearm. The officer is. And what happens, what do the people tell you when they contact City Hall or whatever and say, you got my gun, I want it back, what's the deal?
So there's a few things that happen. And the worst one, since I've been there, happened a couple of days ago, which is interesting that we're talking about it. There was a young lady, very nice, educated young lady, who came in and said she got stopped by a police officer for making a right turn on where she can't turn right, mm-hmm. or something like that. There was a gun in her glove box. It was unloaded. Which is a terrible idea, guys. If you have a gun,
loaded,
keep it
but
loaded.
It's perfectly legal. Right. Whether she's got a permit or not,
legal,
it's an extension of the home. Okay.
And the law enforcement officer was very upset with her. That's just what she's saying.
That
so
she,
only
she
one
informed
side of the
him
story.
That I have the gun, or did he find it?
Right. No. She said that she has a gun. It's in the glove box with her registration. That's how the whole thing came up. She didn't want to open the glove box and, you know, pull out a gun or
have to
touch a gun while the police officer's there. So he got her out of the car. Got the gun, asked her for the receipt for the gun, or what did she say? She said they needed proof of registration for the gun, which doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. Are you sure that's what he told her? Proof of registration?
It's pretty common. I mean, this one was bad because he didn't give her a ticket. He didn't give her a claim ticket. And furthermore, when she called, contacted her attorney, and they called local sheriff's office in Orleans Parish, told him that they took my gun and he didn't give me any kind of receipt. All I have is the ticket, luckily, which had the police officer's name on it. And supposedly, again, I have no way to verify it, but she said that the sheriff called the deputy, and the deputy had it, said that he had it, and he took it home with him and had it because he wasn't sure what to, how to process it. So she got her gun back.
On the ticket, was there a citation for carrying a firearm?
No.
It was for the right turn.
Right, it was a right
but
turn.
But did he mention that he took a gun?
She said
in the report
there was no way to confirm that they took the gun. Luckily, I guess the law enforcement officer, you know, kind of cop to the fact that he made a mistake, which we all do. I get it. But, I mean, it's very common that this happens.
I've heard it.
It has to happen a lot more than that because this is only people
that are
don't
customers
have the receipt.
And looking for a receipt.
Right. They specifically come in to get a report on the guns they've bought from us, you know, in a receipt form. So this is only the people that got pulled over or stopped and legally had a gun, because if we sell it to them, I mean, I'm guessing they can have a gun, get stopped, the gun gets taken, there's no receipt, and they come into the store to get a receipt to prove that that's their gun and that they can go pick it up, which is all so backwards.
Well, the other thing is I've heard that the attorney fee, sometimes what it costs you
oh,
is not
you
worth
more than
let
the
them
gun.
Keep the gun. They don't even attempt to get it back. So they're getting firearms, and who knows what they're doing with them.
Right, so this is just people that have gotten so upset, usually, that they're willing to pay more than the gun's worth to prove their point.
I tell you what, Devin, we need to
Katrina
make...
Katrina was even worse.
We
Katrina
need to make
worse.
A commitment to get someone on this program from Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office to take calls
they'll never
and
They'll never do that.
They won't. But if they don't, people are going to know that they won't. But this needs to get out more to the public. And they need to be held accountable for doing that. That's criminal, actually. It's criminal.
Yeah, I mean, they're in Lakeview, a lot of the guys, much older guys now, had when their homes were entered after the levees broke on that side of Lakeview, they still have guns that have just disappeared. You know, they just disappeared.
Well, I'm getting some texts in. One said there is no law, which obviously I don't think there is any law.
I mean, I've looked for it. I can't find one.
And then the other one says they're asking for proof of registration and that Chief Harrison, who is no longer the chief, he's gone. I think he went to Chicago. Joey is in Jefferson Parish.
Right. Lapinto is Jefferson Parish.
His name escapes me right now, but he said it on a video to the public. That you have to carry a proof of registration. And there's no such thing. There's no gun registration. Are they talking about the NICS background check form that y'all keep on file for being able to sell the gun legally?
I mean, they can, because they don't get any of that. That stuff can't leave the store legally with all of our info on it and with all of their personal info on it. We can't give them that. Even if we wanted to give them that, we couldn't give them that.
Well, this is crazy, and I don't think people are aware of it, and there's not been enough noise made about it. If you would do this, maybe when you get these people that come in, ask them if they will tell their story on air, get their names and their telephone numbers, or invite them to come in here to the station. And at the same time, I'm going to work on getting a police chief or someone, an official from Orleans Parish, maybe someone to tell us what is their policy on confiscating legally owned, law-abiding people's firearms from a legal place in their vehicle and why they're doing it and what's happening with the guns and what gives them the right to do that.
And it's so, I mean, even getting the gun back is so backwards and, you know, upsetting. It's most of these people, all these people are to my knowledge, are law-abiding citizens. They bought the gun legally, and they're they come in, they're very upset. It costs a lot of money. They feel like their rights have been walked all over. It's very
so they're going to protect the bad guys who walk around the French Quarter with a Saturday night special tucked in the belt of their pants and covered with a shirt, and they can't do anything with them about carrying a gun unless they commit a crime and they catch him with it. But a perfectly legal, law-abiding firearm owner who is minding his own business and has it legally, with or without a permit, in his vehicle, they're going to grab that gun and take it for no reason.
Right. This is how we got to talking about this, because the governor's candidate thing that you were going to mediate.
Well,
and
I think it's,
that would be anyway. That would be my big.
I don't know if a governor could step in and interfere with a municipal of a city's policy, but the city is the one that needs to be held accountable.
Right.
For this.
I mean, I'm just thinking that their views would be interesting to hear.
We're going to get them. We're going to get them. Either if they don't want to come in person. Or do an interview, they can send us a written statement on their policy. And it needs to be demanded. It needs to be done.
Right.
It needs to get out. We're going to do that on our next program, I guarantee you. All right, Dave Ramey's with us. We're going to take a break. What's he going to be talking about when he comes on?
He's going to talk about LSA. It's a shooting association that he's a big part of. He's a big part of almost everything that has to do with guns in the Louisiana.
BTO, Dave Ramey's up right. next, coming back right after this timeout. You listen to Talking Guns with Devin Burgess, Don Dubuque. Coming up after this is going to be North Shore Fishing Report with Keith Lusher. All that's still to come here on More Outdoors. And, Devin, we're joined by Dave Ramey.
Dave, you there?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I'm here.
Good to hear that voice of yours. So what are you going to talk to us this beautiful morning about LSA?
Well, as Don and you were just discussing, we have people in this state who make their own laws, so to speak. And a lot of times, like the one that Don was just talking about, it affects individuals, and it's hard to get it in before or find out what's going on because it's one voice. Well, LSA is a nonprofit organization that deals with promoting our support in the gun area, so to speak. We help with youth programs. We have the adults. But one of the main things that I got joined them for was they keep track of what's going on in our state legislature. They're not concerned with what goes on, so to speak, nationally, or what's happening in Texas and Mississippi. They're concerned with what are our legislators proposing here in Louisiana. And as you can tell, when you're part of a group, you get more done. And you have a bigger voice when you call up a politician.
Now,
and that's what they've been doing for the last few years.
Now, I remember that you went to, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Baton Rouge not long ago to, there was laws or something coming out that you didn't like. Was that through LSA that organized that?
Yes. There are a couple other organizations in the state that are coming up, but the biggest one is LSA. And what we do is when the state, I think it's Judiciary Committee, decides to talk about some of the bills that have been proposed by some of the senators and state representatives, we come out to that committee and voice whether we oppose or are in favor of it. Like, the big one this year was the red flag law that was being proposed. And we come out as a group and we show that we're opposed to it. We'll even have a few people speak before the committee and we go from there. And a lot of times we have a lobbyist and our president, Dan Zelinka, goes out and they talk about some of the things that have been proposed even before they get to committee, and they don't make it to committee.
I got you. So is that welcomed normally by
political? Well, when they realize you have a strong group behind you with a number of voters, they listen. And they go. And this year we were able to vote down the red flag.
Dave,
our strong support.
Dave, I had asked Devin that question. You know, if you were having a meeting or a debate or a forum with the governor's candidates, what would be the number one burning issue with regard to firearms that they would have some impact in being in the position of governor of the state? What would that be? What point would you bring up to them, and what question would you ask them?
Well, we want to know if they support the right of citizens to have firearms and, you know, how they feel with regard to some of these proposals. You know, every year we get a lot of the same things coming out, you know, people wanting to see the age limit restriction. You know, we don't want to sell to anyone under 21 or... I'm sure red flag is going to come back next year. We look at what, we've laughed because sometimes the city of New Orleans passes regulations that the state already has. And, you know, why is the city doing it? In my opinion, they do it because they want more money. But that's the main thing, like we do with any candidate, whether they're running for the state Senate, the federal Senate. You know, we ask what are their feelings, and we look at how they vote on things in the past.
So how many people showed up for that the red flag law protest when you went?
God, I don't keep track of those numbers, but we try and all wear the same shirts, so you see a sea of yellow or red, the various colors. We try to not wear the color that the opposition is wearing.
But I mean, was it a lot? Was it a lot of people?
About
20, or if you had to guess?
Oh no, more than 20. More than 20. We've gotten, I'd say close to 50, and then or more. And then you also have to remember, we provide, when we know these votes are coming up, we provide the members with the names of the committee members and their phone numbers, email addresses, so that people are phoning in and sending emails saying whether they oppose something or they're in support of the bill that's being considered.
So if people wanted to join or read more info about it, do you know where they could go to do that?
Oh, yeah, it's easy. Just Google Louisiana Shooting Association, and it's going to bring you to a web page, and it has various links to various things. Like one of the links we have, it goes to, if people are interested in the concealed carry laws, it takes them to the Louisiana State Police website that deals with concealed carry. It has on their website the information for joining, and for as little as, I believe, $15, you can become an annual member for $300, like I paid one time. You get to be a life member. They even have a junior program where people under, I believe, the age of 20 can sign up and for $5 become a member of LSA.
Dave, we have a texter, a listener, that wants to you explain exactly what the red flag proposal was. We're talking about it, but some people aren't aware of what it was. What would that have done?
Red flag would mean that anyone, like a neighbor, some work associate, would suddenly come to the police and go, hey, I believe that Don DeBoeuf is a danger to our society. He has firearms, he's just a danger. And the police could show up and confiscate your firearms without any due process or court order. And then you have to go through the courts at a later date to prove you're not crazy, you're not a threat, in order to try and get your firearms back. Sort of like, we would be saying you're guilty of something before it actually happens.
Yeah, I mean, that could be used as, to settle a grudge, or, somebody that's having a problem with their husband and says she's threatened and in fear for her life, and then just to come out there and take somebody's firearm and then make them prove that they're not have violent tendencies. That's insane. How was the vote on that? Was it even close?
I believe, and don't quote me, it was 9-4 and 26 against it when it went to the actual floor. But it didn't get anywhere this year.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to hear those nine people, their rationale for supporting that, especially after they've heard the arguments against it.
Most of the time, it's a long political party lines.
Yeah, like most things are. All right, Dave, we're going to take a break. Go ahead. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We'll pick up where we left off. We've also got our gun product of the month. We want to put that out for our listeners, too. If you got a question or a comment, 260-6368. That's 504. Or if you prefer to text like our listeners are doing, 870-870 comes right here to the studio real time. We're back right after this.
So, Dave, is that so LSA, that's Louisiana Shooters Association?
Shooting Association.
I got you. Is that, you, you mentioned that if they Google LSA, they can see how to join and the small fees that go to the nonprofit. Is there like monthly meetings? Because I'm still a little confused. Like, is it is there forums that y'all go on to discuss the next event, or is it meetings that y'all actually physically get together and meet, or is it just broadcasted to its members the next place to, you know, meet up or?
Physically, we get together once a year. That's annually around the end of January, beginning of February. Our meetings in the last 5 years or more have been at Cabela's over in Gonzales. And, you know, it's about a 4 or 5 hour meeting where we elect the directors, talk about the programs that have been going on. Then everything else in this day and age is done digitally. You get alerts with regard to what legislative action is taking place and when. You get emails with regard to some of the youth shooting programs that we have, like we auction off every year an M1 Garand, using the money to support our youth programs and projects. And we go from that way. Formal setting, when you're as large as our organization is, that goes from one end of the state to the other, you know, east, west, north, south, it's kind of hard to get everybody together, but so everything's done digitally. And there's a newsletter that comes out hopefully once a quarter. You know, it depends on everybody's schedule. It keeps us all informed of, you know, various programs that are going on, and talking about various shooting projects and programs. They did one on how to acrisize a 1903 Springfield for use in competition. So there's a wide variety of things that go on, but we all get together primarily just once a year.
Yeah, we were talking about organizations to join, you know, in support of firearms ownership and the shooting sports, and I am very happy, and it gives me good sleep well at night knowing that you're on our side. You're, what, a member of more than a dozen, huh? Probably hunting and shooting and organizations that fight for our Second Amendment right, and I'm very, very thankful for it.
A lot of organizations are tuned in to what's going on nationally and what's, you know, the Senate and Congress doing. LSA focuses just on Louisiana and what is going to affect you and me by state law, and we go forward from there. So like the thing that Don was talking about with, you know, New Orleans, you know, maybe as a group confronting them and hearing what they've got to say could help also. You never know.
Well, they're going to get an invitation to for someone, a spokesperson, to appear on the show. And if they can't make that one, we'll ask them which one they can. And if they can't do that, we want a written statement stating their policy on that, because people just need to know that. You know, there's this stuff with, you know, it's up to the discretion of the officer to do what he wants and take somebody's firearm home and don't give them a receipt and take it in the first place. To me, it's unconscionable. And for them to get away with that, they need to be held accountable. And that's the only way to do it. You're right, Dave. It takes numbers.
Remember, back when Katrina was around and the city of New Orleans tried the confiscation, the NRA took them to court, I believe, 2-3 times, winning each time. And it still, despite the fines and everything the court gave them, it didn't change their policy. You know, they dig in, so to speak, and, you know, they'll ignore the rule of law, so to speak, just to do things their way.
Yeah, well, there was a book written about it, The Great New Orleans Gun Grab, which a friend of mine, two friends of mine, co-authored, and some of the stories that they portray in that book of what went on, they are factual because I witnessed one personally, a gun confiscation from a girl who was headed in the trunk of a car, and they took her firearm. Now, she did get it back, but they were not within their right to take that. And I witnessed that one, and this book is full of instances where they stepped out of line and went way over the line on gun confiscations. And you're right, they have not been ever held accountable for the extent that they should have been. They denied that they did it, and then they've got a video of, I forget who he was, but it was the police chief stating that they were going to take firearms on the air, you know.
Yeah,
well. We'll get to the bottom of that one. There's always going to be a battle of fight. I'll tell you that. It's never ending.
You're right about that. Yep, there's always the next battle.
Join LSA, become part of a group that, you know, is actually out there protecting your rights here in Louisiana.
You know, a lot of people say, you know, I don't even want to get involved. There's nothing I can do. They shouldn't feel that way. One person to a politician represents 100 or more, because they know, they're thinking, if one person feels this way and I'm hearing from them, there's probably another 100 just like him. So as the numbers grow, they finally get the message, because the one thing a politician, his primary goal of office is to stay there, and he'll do whatever he needs to. The worst thing could happen is for him to get out, get removed. And they'll do what they need to stay in. Dave, thanks for joining us. If you want to stay with us, we're going to be listening to our gun product of the month. If Doug's got that ready, we can roll that now, and then we'll be right back to wrap up this edition of Talking Guns. Don Dubuque, Devin Burgess, and Dave Ramey will be right back after this little pro announcement for the Kimber products.
Hey, this is Nick here from Jefferson Gun Outlet. We have Miss Rachel Maloney from Kimber Manufacturing up there in Yonkers, New York.
You got it.
She's here today to talk to us about one of our new, really exciting products. And, man, I mean, I guess this is Kimber's first striker-fired handgun. Huh?
Technically, our second. We did have another gun that we had out earlier, but the thing that, you know, is super exciting about this gun, totally different. Still striker-fired platform, shares the same kind of action in that aspect, but everything else as far as engineering, product development teams, all totally different. So we're super, super excited about this gun. We have four members in this family. Today we're going to talk about the custom shop model. It's probably the most aggressive-looking gun out of the entire family so far. So one of the things that's pretty interesting about these guns, yes, they are another subcompact carry gun. Yes, they are another striker-fired subcompact carry gun, but one of the cool things about the Evo SPs is that they're all configurable to the user's kind of desired grip size, even the mag catch you can flip over for a left-handed shooter. And when you're going to do all of that stuff, it was important for us to set it up in a way that you didn't have to feel like an experienced gunsmith to do all of that work, nor would you need to have any kind of special tooling as well.
Nice.
So,
To cut you off, I'm just looking at this thing. I mean, this thing's just chock full of features.
Oh, my God, loaded.
Especially for the price. I mean,
loaded, sure.
I mean,
the CS is the top of the line out of the family. So that's coming in an MSRP at $1,047. The base model in the family is $856. And they're all MSRPs, so it's kind of up to the dealers, you know, what they want to street price it, right? But, you know, some of these features that you're going to find throughout the whole family is going to be an FNC finish on the slide and on the barrel. That's a pretty heavy-duty finish, a carry gun, right? It's going to be on your body. Hopefully you're going to be training with it.
Yeah, I just want to touch on the carry gun.
Yeah.
There is not a sharp edge anywhere on this gun.
Nope.
I'd be hard-pressed to find a more comfortable gun of this size.
Absolutely.
What's the capacity on this?
These are going to be shipping with 2 7-round magazines. So 7-in-1 out of the box. We are going to be producing an 8-round magazine that's due out about March-ish, somewhere a little bit further ahead in the season. And again, you know, the kind of feature-packed, there's just tons of options in this gun. You know, like I said, when I was touching on before about these grips. So, you know, unfortunately, this is a radio. You can't see this cool-looking gun, but they're all going to ship with a standard-size grip. They are all going to be available with a thin grip or a thicker grip, depending on the size of your hand. Like you said, you're talking about feeling that everything's rounded. All of these details have been paid attention to for us. How you go about it, if you pop the mag out and you look at the actual magwell area, there is a little hex screw that's at the very back or bottom of the back strap. And it's not a special hex screw. It's something that you're going to have in any kind of Allen key array. You're going to back that out a quarter of an inch so you don't have to separate it from the frame. People have probably heard in kind of other, you know, spots here and there, okay, they're thinking to themselves, it's a small little screw. I got to back it out of the frame. Great. I'm going to lose it immediately. If you wrench on your guns like I do, small parts tend to go to the small parts gods, and we have to go find new ones.
I see this one's a 9mm. Is that the only caliber for this?
That is the only caliber offering for this. Yeah. But, again, we know 9mm, if you're familiar with the FBI reporting in the past 20 years, the caliber is incredible. Manufacturing standards for SAMI have been elevated to a level that we all know 9mm is a really awesome option. But, yeah, so no special tooling to pop those grips off, no special tooling to switch that mag catch around.
Right.
These sights up top, they're ledged, they're steel sights.
Right.
So if you do have to work with any kind of immediate action single hand, you do have a good platform.
And if our if our listeners wanted to, you know, view this gun at any time, where's a good place to?
Absolutely. There's tons of stuff to cover, and I'm sure people have their own individual areas that they want to know more about. So the best place to go learn about our Evo SB lineup is our website, which is KimberAmerica.com. And that's going to feature every spec that we can give out, like weight, barrel length, all the nitty-gritty width, which is also very important on our subcompact carry guns.
Okay. And just one more time, what was the starting price for the base model and the price of this one?
So the starting price on the base model, sidebar on the base model, it includes every width, every grip that we are going to be putting out in the box. So even though it's the base model, you're actually getting more grips. Still, everything is shipping with the two mags. The base model is at $856.
Okay.
And our CS, which is our highest dollar in the family, is $1,047.
Okay. It's Rachel Maloney from Camera America. Thank you so much for,
you got it,
for being with us today. And excellent.
All right, where does the time go? Great little presentation, a good job by Nick. I would like to make an appeal to listeners. If you have had a gun confiscated from Orleans and you want to let us know about it, go on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Use the contact button. Get in touch with me. We'd love to hear your story. Devin, tell us about the store hours this weekend.
Yeah, we got a class coming up at Shooters Club. It's a renewal class for your permit, 10 o'clock Saturday, 11:30. First-time class. This store is now open 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday. It's from 10 to 7, and Sunday is from 11 to 6. Shooters Club's still closed on Monday, but you can shoot at the range on Airline 7 days a week now.
All right, see y'all next show. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Devin.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.